it's Acadia Einstein, and we don't have to do the regular strangeful things this week because we're lazy and we have to catch up. So we're going to do short episodes. And this one's going to be from Christy the Hook Stevens. And probably it's about some seafaring barnacle buddies.
That right? was pretty good. That was great.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. We have a total nautical story for you today in this mini episode of Strangeful Things.
And mini just means it's not, unless we make up a bunch of stupid theories, it's not going to take long to tell.
Right. We're just killing time until we start season two, honestly. But,
now, well, I mean, you can look at it super cynically like that, or you could say, you know what? We don't want to just stick a bunch of sort of incidents together into one episode going, the most fucked up things that begin with J, or something like that. Like, that would be a terrible episode.
Yeah.
So we're going to do minis. And, you know, later on, as I assume there's going to be a lot of Game of Thrones style backbiting happening within the staff, probably people will just be doing minis and trying to slip them in there when nobody's looking anyway.
That's right. Everybody's going to be like, well, hey, I got a little story I can do a mini on.
I got a little something I can play a tune.
My cousin, like, disappeared.
Fucked no, up. Seriously. You know my cousin disappeared.
Oh my gosh, are you serious? No, you're no. not. See, I'm the nicest person on the whole podcast. You can't do that. I'm going to feel bad for you.
That's such a low bar, though.
Yeah, well, yeah. Fair enough.
That's like being world's tallest midget.
But honestly, like, this is a weird, creepy ocean story from Hawaii, no less.
Ooh.
Which is, you know, always makes everything slightly better.
Which means that neither Magnum nor Dog the Bounty Hunter could solve it because
no.
it's not solved.
Tom Selleck totally failed on this one. And it even happened in the 80s. So Whoa. He has no excuse.
Yeah, he was probably driving his cool car around and teasing Higgins.
All right. So, let me allow me to take you back to February of 1979 in Hawaii, which February in Hawaii is kind of like late spring everywhere else.
All right.
Because, you know, it's the Pacific, the weather is beautiful all the time. I think they had snow like once and it was last year due to global warming or something.
Thanks, it's called Al Gore. Climate change.
Yeah. So anyway, February 11th, 1979, there are these five guys who all work together and they all decide to go out on a fishing trip. Like they get off work and they're like, yeah, we're going to rent this like whaling boat and go out on the water and go fishing. And none of them were like expert fishermen or anything. This literally, to me, this sounds like the total real life Gilligan's Island that ended so badly.
It was just a 3-hour tour.
Yeah. They were supposed to be gone for a couple hours and come back.
Well, I'm glad that you started out by describing them as guys who went fishing as opposed to the people from that story about the national parks that were just labeled fishermen.
Right. No, these were construction workers who went fishing.
All right.
They were not fishermen.
That's good. It's like someone who might kidnap is not necessarily a kidnapper.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. We agree.
As we have figured out in the past.
Mm-hmm.
So they left in the morning and being the inexpert fishing people that they were.
I think the
I'm kind of thinking that the fishing part is secondary to if they can drive the boat or not. Like, if they just drove the boat out into the ocean and went, I'm not going to put a worm on the boat. Like, I don't know what you do in the ocean.
Right.
Like,
I think you use, like, little tiny fish, still have to, like, hook it through the gills and, ugh. Yeah.
I think if I had to pick, I would rather be a really good boat captain and a shitty fisherman than the other way around. Because then I could just drive my boat back to land and have a hamburger.
Exactly.
All right.
And sleep in your own bed.
Yep.
So that is not what happened. Mm-hmm. They were out for a couple hours and all of a sudden a storm came up and nobody had checked the weather, of course.
Yeah.
And so one of the guy's dads, like, started freaking out. And he's like, oh my gosh, they're not back yet. We need to go down, you know, to the coast and see if we can see the boat so we can, like, flag them in, you know, because this storm is really kicking up. And they go down there and all these other boats were, like, making their way back into the harbor or whatever. Could not find this boat. The boat was named the Sarah Jo, which
stupid
is
name for
mildly
a boat.
Important. They name boats all kinds of crazy crap.
Yeah, I know.
Like, boats and horses, believe it or not, have the most ridiculous names.
Yeah, I don't know how that started either.
I'm not sure. But anyway, so they didn't get back before the storm hit. And it ended up being this really, really nasty storm on the island. Like, this all happened on Maui, or off the coast of Maui. So it was really bad on the island. So you can only imagine, like, how bad it was out at sea. And the boat that they were in was not meant for, like, going out for more than a day. It was a small boat.
Okay.
It was actually called a whaling boat. I don't know a ton about boats, but looking at the picture, which we can put up, you know, on the site, it had just enough room for 5 people and maybe, you know, a cooler of beer.
I think it was probably a Boston Whaler.
Yes, that's what it was.
Which is a kind of boat, and I don't think maybe they were fishing for whales. I don't know.
I don't know. I didn't get that.
Got it.
But anyway.
That's the kind of boat that has, like, a little part in the middle that sticks up, kind of like a cabin, but not, like, all the way around.
Gotcha. Thanks, New Englander.
Hey. Yeah, no problem. I watch Wicked Tuna.
My little Southern Atlantic Coast self did not even know that. So anyway, the storm blows over. They go out to kind of, like, search for these guys because they never showed up. And, you know, the Coast Guard gets involved. They go out. They ended up searching something like 70,000... Square miles. Because they had no idea which direction these guys went.
Would have been 70,000 houses and they didn't find any boats.
Right. No, 73,000 square miles.
Wow.
So, like, they searched for a long time. The Coast Guard searched for about a week or so and then decided that, you know, they had been lost at sea. But the family and the friends were like, no, you know, we want to make sure that they're not dead. And so they still continued to check for them and stuff like that. Nobody ever found them, never came home. No trace of the boat, nothing.
Were they, like, sick of their wives?
I have no idea. You never know.
You know what we're going to do, man? We're going to just sail over to that other part of Hawaii.
Right. I'm going to start a new life on the other island.
Yeah. So, I mean, I would assume that if you're going to start a new life off the grid, Hawaii would be a great place to do it.
You would think. I don't know. I've never been there, so I don't know what kind of the vibe is there, like whether it's a place you can kind of just go and just kind of exist, or if the people are, like, totally friendly and want to know who you are and where you came from, you know?
Yeah, true.
So anyway, One of the interesting things is that one of the people that helped in the original search was a marine biologist. And so, you know, he kind of helped with the weeks-long search and everything. And then 10 years later, in September of 1988, this same marine biologist was doing a wildlife study on an atoll, like a deserted atoll out in the Pacific. It was 2,200 miles from Maui.
Wow.
Okay.
All right.
So they go on this deserted atoll and they're looking for wildlife and trying to figure out if anything lives there and documents stuff and everything. And they spotted a boat. Now this is 10 years later. So they spot this boat and he goes up and he can just barely make out like the registration on the side of the boat. And it starts with HA, which means it was registered in Hawaii. And so he calls in the registration number. Sure enough, the boat is the Sarah Jo.
2,200 miles away.
2,200 miles away, wrecked on this deserted stretch of sand. So they start looking around to see if they can find anything else because, you know, the guy was part of the original search, so he knew the story.
All right.
They found about 100 yards away a very shallow grave with like a handmade cross sticking up, you know, made of driftwood, all, you know, Castaway style.
All right.
And a jawbone sticking up out of the rocks. It was like one of those cairns where they just build the rocks up over the body pretty much to keep the seagulls and stuff off of it.
Yeah.
So they were like, holy crap. So they start looking for more bodies. They only found the one body.
But the jawbone was sticking out?
The jawbone was like poking out one side.
But how?
And like they had, there were more bones like underneath the rocks. And then there were a couple bones that were like nearby or whatever.
Well, then the guy wasn't buried when he had meat on him.
Yeah.
Because nobody goes, hey, you know what? I'm going to bury this guy, but I'm going to leave half of his face sticking out of the top of my little rock pile.
Right.
I just buried him like he was sitting down. It seemed like that's what he would want.
Judging from, you know, his skeletal features.
He was
features.
Sitting down when I found him, you know.
Right, you know, that was how he wanted to go.
Ugh.
So,
and it's always a shallow grave. You know who gets away with murder? People that
shallow
have the fucking
graves.
Fortitude to keep digging for a little while longer.
Yeah. 6 feet or more, dude.
All of these unsolved things are from people that were like, well, fuck it, I'll dig the rest of the night. I don't care.
Motivated.
But I want to know how they got 2,200 miles. And if.
Yeah. That's the question. So just to confirm, the jawbone, they brought the jawbone back and the DNA analysis identified it as one of the five guys that went out on the boat. But they never found any of the other four anywhere.
Because the other guy ate him.
But who buried him?
Probably. Well, the people that abandoned the atoll. Because they said it was deserted, right?
Yeah, it was uninhabited.
Well, it had to have been inhabited for a minute.
I mean, by somebody. Somebody had to have buried this guy. But they have no idea who did it. So, as far as the 2,200 miles, what they think is that, judging by the currents and, you know, how they calculate all of that stuff, they said that it would have taken 3 months for the ship or the boat to get blown out to sea and make it all the way to this atoll. 3 months.
And however, they weren't good fishermen.
No. However, supposedly, there was a government survey that went to these uninhabited atolls like 6 years after these guys disappeared and did not report any boats, did not report any graves, did not report any of it.
Oh.
So.
And was there anything fishy about the grave? Like, did they write on any rocks or any shit like that?
There was one fishy thing about the grave.
Was one it of fish? The things,
no, it was not fish. One of the things that they found was in the rocks, like down, you know, where the body was, they found a small stack of paper that was, it wasn't bound like a book, but it was stacked up kind of like you could have sewn the edges together and made a really crude book.
Right.
And it was really small. It was only like 3/4 of an inch thick. And in between every single piece of paper was a very small square piece of aluminum foil.
The what?
Yep.
That doesn't even make any sense.
So
did it say anything on it?
No. No writing, no nothing.
Bull flop.
Now, the interesting thing is that while I was researching this, I figured out that it is a Chinese custom to bury people with either paper or paper money separated by either gold or silver foil to take into the afterlife so they can, like, pay their way kind of thing. So this was a Chinese thing that they found.
Well, that makes even less sense. How it dumb makes... are the Chinese afterlife people where they're like, oh, this is human
they need
money.
Toll money.
Little yeah, but it's just pieces of paper and tinfoil. That's not the, money.
I guess they're hoping they're going to be able to pass it off.
Jesus.
So nothing has ever been confirmed. It's not actually a solved case, but the main theory that I found, which makes sense to me, is that they were in this bad storm. You know, it's a Boston Whaler. It's not a big boat. They were tossed around and everything, and 4 of the guys got tossed out of the boat. And right. Steve-O managed to hold on or tie himself to the boat or whatever, and then drifted around for God knows how long. Probably reached the atoll either dead or dying.
Dead
because there was no fresh
alive.
Water. There's no fresh water on this thing. It's just sand and seawater. So they so once he got there, you know, he died. And then there are Chinese fishing boats that illegally fish in that area. And what the prevailing theory is that a Chinese fishing boat saw the boat, came and investigated, buried the guy because he was dead, but never reported it because they weren't supposed to be there.
Hmm. So they gave him the little pretend money sandwich.
Yep.
Left his face hanging out of the rock pile.
Yep.
And then skedaddled because they were stealing fish.
Yeah, pretty much. Good luck in the afterlife.
Wow.
Crazy, right?
Yeah, but I like to think that the guy that was left had eaten the other 4, and that's how he got that 5.
Yeah, I mean, you never know.
Because now we know survival cannibalism is a thing.
Yes.
And he probably would have been under severe rabbit starvation.
Oh, yes.
Which, as we know, is when you eat people after they've already been starving for a long time. They're too skinny and there's no fat and you don't get any nutrients. So you just kind of starve yourself while you're eating. So
it's
remember,
pretty,
folks.
Pretty bad way to go.
Yep. If you're in a boat, a lifeboat, and you think it's going to go south, kill the fattest person right away.
And for God's sake, tell somebody where you're going.
Well, not if you're going to kill the fat guy.
Well, no, but like, at least.
Well, they knew where they would. If they didn't have a fish, they didn't have to drive the boat. Where would they say they were going? Fishing.
Well, it's a relatively round island.
Yeah, but
I mean, they could have gone anywhere, and it's not that big.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think, if you told me, hey, where are you going in that boat? I'd be like, I don't know. Unless I'm in a lake and I can see the other side of the lake.
I'm going to that dock.
Like one time, I was up to camp, and my friend and I were like, nah, we're going to go across because there's a store across the lake at this campground. And so that was our, like, thing to do for that day. We just got in the boat. And
yeah.
It took forever because the boat, like, went 1 mile an hour.
Oh, right.
But when we got there, the best part about the whole trip was there was just this baby wandering around. Filthy.
As they do.
Filth. I mean, filthy. Like, someone had said, let's see how much dirt we can put on this baby. And, like, the diaper looked like it had another baby in it. And
right.
It was just wandering around.
His ankles.
Nobody was watching it. Like, it was just, I don't know, dirty baby campground. So we went in and we got, like, give me some fucking sweet tots and whatever else you have in your campground store. And got back in the boat.
And we're going to get out of here.
And we left the baby to die.
See? Bigfoot got that baby.
Either Bigfoot or the bad parents who birthed that child.
Which might have been better off with Bigfoot.
Yeah, I know, right?
Oh, my goodness.
But I had a thing to aim at.
Right. Yeah,
if
with
you're
the
just
ocean,
gonna go
you
fishing,
don't.
You don't know where the fish are. You don't. If you're just going in the ocean, that's what. Because I do watch Wicked Tuna. And they got radars and shit. Oh, yeah, they're always like, yeah, we got to go out to this sandbar. Or something or other, like, oh, they have a boat and a crew, and they go, whatever you just pushed made a lot of noise.
Sorry.
Oh. Stop waking up your robot. So, the way the Wicked Tuna people do it, they're like, oh, yeah, well, we're not making any money this season. We got to go out to Wilson's Reef or whatever the fuck they say, I don't know. But then they're like, oh well, so far in the season they've made like $25,000. There's like four people on the boat and they gotta pay for gas and all the shit, and I'm like, how is this a job? Like,
right.
That's a terrible job.
Right. It's just bad.
I don't understand how they make any money. None.
I don't know.
If they catch like a fish every day that's worth like $5,000, sure. But they don't. They catch like one a month.
Yeah, how do you make money doing that?
I don't know. I'm going to have to listen to Downeaster Alexa a few more times. Maybe that'll help me figure it out. So basically, this whole mystery is dummies went fishing and ended up a pile of bones 2,000 miles away.
But only one set of bones.
And they did not go directly to Bone Island because it took 10 years for them to get found. And years before they got found, somebody else had been on the island and they weren't there.
They either weren't there or they didn't, like, the survey crew didn't report it.
Or the survey crew killed them.
They killed Tom Hanks.
See?
Wilson.
You got to assume, always assume murder, never accident.
Yes.
So they got there and they had built themselves a little civilization. And so when the surveyors got there, they were all ready to like go, oh, look, there's a bird and this is a green rock and whatever. And they saw these people there that had
weren't
built,
supposed to be there.
Yeah, they built houses, they figured out how to live, and they had married off into like a weird new social construct where there were five of them and they were all dudes, but they made it work.
Oh,
and
my gosh.
So when the survey crew got there, they were like, what the hell is this? And since the fishing guys had been there so long, they just made up their own language and shit. So they just started talking nonsense to the survey crew. And then the survey crew thought that they were attacking them by trying to get in the boat. So they shot them all with flare guns.
Yes, because that's all they had.
And, oh, and also those compasses, you know, with the pencil in one side and the other side's really sharp.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's for drawing circles and whatnot on maps.
Oh, yeah.
They probably stabbed him with that multiple times. And
because if you have an ocean map, you need one of those compasses.
Yeah. Because you got to go, oh, well, look, and then draws big arc. See?
Right.
And then the rest of the people are like, oh. So.
Yeah.
Flare gun to the mug. A few compasses in the ear. And maybe, I don't know, somebody got hit with a buoy. And the five fishing guys, who were pretty skinny by that point. They all died. And the reason why there was only one guy left on the island was because the survey crew took the other four with them and dumped them off every 10 miles on their way back to where they were going. But since it was only 40 miles away, they could only drop four of them.
So they left one.
They left one and buried him and said, let's blame the Chinamen.
Let's blame the Chinese.
We'll make one of their little stacks of afterlife post-it notes. And then we'll dump the rest of them in the ocean and go back and say, yeah, no, we didn't see any. We saw the green rock.
There was nothing there. Some crabs, some lobster.
Yep. So somewhere in the American bureaucracy, a bunch of people that are now either retired or dead killed five men on an atoll and never told a soul.
I would buy it.
We're out in the middle of the ocean. Who's going to know?
So there you go.
That was quite the... I thought, this is the worst. You just told me a story about people whose ship obviously sank. And then you came up with the 2,000 mile away thing, and I was all ripped right back into the story again.
Yes.
Because this was, you know, a man was found dead in his room. And also, there was another man there holding a gun. That's not a good mystery.
But we don't know what happened.
Yeah, exactly. The guy said he didn't do it, so I'm stumped.
Obviously, it's unsolved.
Yep. And this didn't even fit into the ghost ship category broken.
As far as we know, that Boston Whaler is not, you know, tootling around the Pacific anymore.
It ain't a ghost.
Nope.
Well, that was a good story.
Thanks.
Good job, Cramplin.
I pretty much enjoyed it.
All right. Well, then this was the first mini.
Yay!
That's your first terrible mini. Name, though.
Yeah, we need to come up with a better name. We can call them shorts.
That's clothes. Yeah, you know what? By the time we do another one, we're going to have a better name.
Yeah, we're going to come up with something.
Lightning.
What else is small and fast?
No, Leprechaun? Lightning is fast and it's powerful.
Hmm.
It's a lightning bolt. It's a... Thunderjack. Shut up.
No pressure.
Ugh. All right. Well, we'll be back next week with another Thunderjack.
Oh, my gosh. Good night.
Bye.